Ah, yes, the king would have been 72 years old. Can you believe that? On Monday. We'll be back in a moment with Joyce Hawks on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, Joyce, let's get into the cell itself, and then let's talk about how the power of this healing works on it, if you can scientifically break it down for us.
Do the best I can.
All right.
What I've looked at is four basic parts of the cell. There are other parts, but these four are the really key parts. So one is the nucleus of the cell, which contains DNA. That's where the information of the cell resides. Then there's the membrane of the cell, and that's the site of communication. Cells communicate so well with each other. That piece is just amazing. There's receptors on the surface of the cell on that membrane that receive biochemical messages about what's going on throughout the body. But recently in the journal Science was shown some work that cells send out nanotubes, ultra small little projections to the cell next door. And they send a little packet of some biochemical and they say, yo, over there, this is what's going on over here. And so cells stay in touch by touching each other with nanotubes. Then there's a part of the cell where tiny little ellipses live. Mm-hmm. They're called mitochondria scientifically, but they're the power pack of the cell. And they have enzymes which do all the energy management of the cell. They break down, they pull carbon atoms apart, and they store the energy until it's needed for some other function. That's what keeps us warm. That's what allows us to make enzymes and carry out the energy requirements of life. And then the fourth part is what I call the action part of a cell. And that's where all of the combination of information coming in through the communication of the cell membrane and the nucleus then inform the cell, essentially making it somewhat anthropomorphic, as to what enzymes are needed or structural proteins. So there's an action part that creates those molecules. So we know that there are diseases that are caused by failing mitochondria, part of aging, part of any fatigue system. And some pretty serious diseases, Time Magazine had an article on it just weeks ago, are caused way down deep inside the cell with this power pack with the mitochondria. And so you can do even a simple meditation of, one that I like is imagining a spiral of light, like the basic spiral of the galaxy.
Okay.
Coming down as gold light inside the body and then deep into each cell. The enzyme that does this power brokerage, so to speak, spins when it works. And so you bring that spin of pure universal energy all the way down into the depths of the cell, to the mitochondria, to the power pack. So that's just one way to work with it.
Okay, so when a healer begins to do what they do they need to understand this makeup, this genetic makeup?
It helps because the work deepens, and that's what I found when I was working with healers in other countries. Even though they didn't have the scientific terms, they had the images, they had the feel for these deep parts of the cells, and that's why a lot of their work was so effective.
Do you have to imagine a diseased cell or damaged cell?
No, you don't. But sometimes when you're working, you'll feel chaos and disruption in the body. You'll feel a place that's shut down. And so if you know what it looks like or what you're experiencing, because you've seen pictures, like, you know, there's 32 pages of pictures in my book, Cell Level Healing, and part of those are scenic pictures for meditation of just relaxing. But there are a number of them that show the cells so you can actually see what they look like. That, in my experience, has helped people a lot with their own self-healing.
Is this different from Reiki and other energy work?
Well, my belief all comes from the same source. And it has its own unique way of working. It's not based on dogma. It's on, it's experiential and exploratory in nature. Cell level healing is a dynamic kind of work and adapted to each individual.
All right, what would Reiki be? If we're talking about cell level healing, then what's Reiki?
Reiki works with the energy level. I'm sure it can touch the cells also, but the intention and the vision is not at that level. And so Reiki is really good about balancing energy in the body. And I believe my experience with cell level healing is it just takes that another step deeper.
So, and is there anything beyond the cell level, perhaps, that science hasn't really come up with yet?
Oh, of course. I mean, and in most of the ancient traditions, there's talk about energy channels and flow of energy and things that move into that purely spiritual arena. But again, if we're working in the dimension of the body, we've got to kind of slide where we're going to be in which dimension. And sometimes the work is at that more etheric dimension. But like the experience you had of feeling that incredible burst of energy that went to your friend's neck.
Oh, yeah, it was jolting.
It was jolting. That's a real physical event.
All right, so how do you train people? Let's talk about it in two ways. To train yourself, to take care of yourself, and then train people to perhaps being a facilitator.
There's lots of meditations and exercises in many traditions. There's a bunch in the book that are suggestions, things that I've worked with or that people that I've worked with has just come up in working with them that has been very helpful. So there's many things out there. People have access to lots of both visualization and meditation techniques to help their own bodies.
You know, I believe mainstream medicine has done a pretty good job overall.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not totally happy with pharmaceutical companies. I'll be very honest with you there.
Mm-hmm.
I think they rush product to market. I don't think they're properly tested. And I think that sometimes they have been proven to suppress information in order to get the drugs and other pharmaceuticals approved. But by and large, I think modern medicine is doing everything they can to try to preserve and lengthen life. But I wish that they would use alternative medicine better and more effectively, and also your area of this kind of healing, because I think a combination of what you do and what modern medicine does just could be phenomenal to take care of people.
I so agree with you on that. That's really where I stand with it also, is that I work with a lot of physicians. I work with nurses. I've trained them and psychotherapists. Plus, some will come to me for their own healing. So that barrier between the fields is beginning to break down.
I mean, like shamans will use, plants.
Sure.
Which are considered to be drugs. You know, mm-hmm. Most drugs are derivatives from real plants. They just, synthesize them. I said that pretty good, didn't I? Say that 10 times. But, they have tapped into the ability to use pharmaceuticals, haven't they?
Oh, definitely. The master healer that I worked with in Bali would go out in the jungle with a big machete, and she'd just whack off this vine and that vine, and she knew which ones they were.
They'd all look the same to me.
Yeah, me too. And she'd bring them back, and she had a big mortar and pestle, and she'd grind all this stuff up and pour in rice wine, arrack, to extract it. And she made this jug of stuff, and I tasted it once. It was the most awful tasting stuff. But it was supposed to cure whatever would ail you.
No matter what.
No matter what.
I mean, if, God forbid, you had cancer, would that attack that?
I can't imagine it wouldn't. It was an amazing concoction, and she had very good results with it.
So why can't we get the formula and make sure everybody can take one every morning?
Well, that's a good question.
You didn't ask her for the formula?
No.
I would have.
I didn't.
I would assume she doesn't have the proper name for what the plants are.
That's right.
We would call it, you know, some kind of fern or whatever it is. She probably doesn't know it as that.
She described being guided by her angels or guides to whatever plants that particular person needed. So she didn't have a pharmaceutical of things just standardized for, okay, so this is if your tummy hurts, and this is for epilepsy, and this one's for whatever. But it was very individual.
See, if I headed up Merck or Bayer or yes. some kind of huge pharmaceutical, I would have a division that would do nothing but follow you around into some of these regions of the world and then meet with these people, these shamans, find out what their concoctions are and either do them naturally or make them up. But I would definitely follow the path of what they're doing because these are incredible drugs. See, my problem is I don't think the big companies want to solve the illness or the ailment. I think they only want to mask it. I think they want it to go away for a while, but they don't want to cure it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if they went out there and did this, as I'm suggesting, that they'd come up with cures, and I'm not sure they want them. I mean, why do you want a cure if a guy's on a cholesterol pill or a blood pressure pill and he's got to take it every month or somebody's got something for some other ailment? Why do they want to be cured? They'd rather sell it to them every month, right?
Sometimes seems that way, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It really does. Well, back more to the faith healing. Give us some specifics on techniques for people. I know the book Cell Level Healing has it in depth, but generally, what are some of the things people can expect?
If I may, answer that by another story.
All right.
Somebody. I have a person that I've worked with only remotely. She lives in Connecticut. She, from time to time, gets a lot of pain in her body and swollen limbs, swollen arms. And so I work with her about every 6 weeks or 2 months. And one particular session we did, and I've never met her. I call her up at the beginning of the session, hang up the phone, work with her as if she was in my office, and then call back at the end of the hour to find out what her experience was. At the end of the hour, all of her pain was gone. She had a Rolex watch on, and the watch had become cloudy, and it was a diver's watch. It had never gotten cloudy inside, but it, all of a sudden this thing is cloudy. And she had a cat that she had adopted that was a feral cat, and it wouldn't let her touch it. It would allow her to feed it and shelter it, but it stayed away from her. And during this session, the cat came over, jumped up on her lap, started purring, and it was a permanent change in its personality. So here's healing that has touched the physical issues and ailments in the woman's body. It has affected a mechanical object in the watch, and it's also affected an animal that has no psychological setup for knowing what's going on. It's experiences like that that make me just sit back and go, you know, how does this work?
Why don't we have a major scientific study that is investigating the power of healing as it directly relates to the cell level, for example? Why isn't this being done?
Well, there are some, you know.
Well, there are.
Yeah, NIH and the special...
NIH being the National Institute of Health, right?
Right. And there's a branch under it that's now an alternative medicine institute. And they are beginning to fund work in energy healing.
Because
that's their foundation.
Well, because they seriously want to get to the bottom of it, or do they want to come up with a study that says it doesn't work so they can wave it all over the place?
Oh, that's not been my experience with it. I think they're really interested in how it works. Truly. But I'm not in there in the middle of it, so maybe that's Pollyanna-ish on my part. And Fetzer Foundation privately has funded some of this work, as I believe Noetic Sciences has some of this work going on. There are also 17 medical schools across the United States that are either beginning programs or are already teaching aspects of alternative medicine to their medical students. And two of those are pretty well known. One is Johns Hopkins, and the other is George Washington University.
How good a healer are you, George? You have the ability to do this, don't you?
Yeah, I've been at it 22 years, full time.
Do you get better every year? Or does there come a point where you plateau?
Good question. You know, I think I learn something all the time. And I work with different things now that are much more difficult than I did when I began. And that wasn't so much by my choice as just who showed up. You know, 20 years ago, I was working with people more around issues of emotional challenges. And now, my work has become more and more fine-tuned to being able to handle more physical issues, which I believe, at least for me, have been harder. They're harder to work with. So I think it's a process of growing all the time, and I have seen the most amazing healings happen that once again make me really humble and in awe of the healing energy of the universe and intrigued to find ways to help people find that and tap it and use it.
Now, here's a person. His name's David from Southgate, Michigan. I know where Southgate is real well. We used to hang around there when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. He's got type 1 diabetes. His daughter has asthma. Can that kind of healing, can this cure this? I mean, I don't think you'd want to tell somebody, all right, stop taking your medicine for diabetes, for example, or your insulin or whatever he's taking. But can it work on diseases like this?
It can, and I would never say to anyone to go off of their medication.
No, I know that.
But to work with their physician, because I have worked with people that could go off of their meds, but not by what I said to them. One example, a woman in Toronto called me because her mother and brother in Jamaica were ill. The brother had diabetes and was on medication and quite ill. Is not doing well, and so I couldn't talk to him because we had a language barrier, and I would go ahead and do the work at the appointed time set up with a woman in Toronto. And slowly he got better and better and actually was able to go off of his medication in working with his physician.
Right.
So I have seen these kinds of intense physical problems heal, but I haven't seen them heal every time, and I don't believe there's some magic bullet or mantra or anything that makes it 100%.
How much energy is in a cell? I mean, if you were able to put little electrodes into it, I mean, would you register it?
It can be registered, and it's in millivolts, and I don't know how many. I don't know what that number is, but the cell is full of energy, and and it has been measured.
When we come back, Joyce, I want to get somewhat spiritual for a moment and ask you something to the effect of, if someone like Jesus had this ability to heal because he understood what to do, he understood what you do. We'll be back. Well, in addition to chatting with Joyce this last half hour, next hour we'll take phone calls with her. We'll open up Fast Blast. We'll take some of your Fast Blast questions as well. So back in a moment at Coast to Coast AM. Joyce, what kind of powers, what kind of healing powers do you think Jesus had? Of course, we've all read that he tapped in the power of God, the higher power, but maybe he understood this as well.
You know, I think the scriptural stories about him is that he always referred to God, to the Father, as being the source of that power, which is a universal energy. And mm-hmm. near-death experiencers, I mean, my experience after the beautiful fields, I was in the presence of a being of light. And in that place, there was no illness, no sadness. It was a place of joy and profound peace. And it's that bridge between that ultimate place of total oneness and health to bring that here in our human experience as much as possible. And I think that's kind of the ultimate healing. There's the healing that relieves suffering of disease, but there's also healing in which we walk in that light, or we walk in that universal kind of presence, not a religious presence necessarily.
See, I think he was able to tap into this energy field, this force, this God power, in an incredible way. There's probably just a few people on the planet who've always had the ability to do it, maybe Buddha, individuals like that. But I think we have the ability to do that, all of us.
Oh, I think we do too. And it's and the experience is one of compassion, of an open heart. But more than love, in addition to love, there's an experience of wisdom, so that the two together are that universal energy of God, however one wants to say that. And I believe that is our birthright, our calling. It's our possibility. And I think we all have glimpses of it. And the more glimpses we have, the closer we get to having that vision as much as possible.
Can you heal, or can people heal without seeing the other person? I think you've heard of Adam, right? The young boy, he's got this ability. He doesn't have to see someone in order to heal them. How about you or some other people? Can you do that?
Oh, absolutely. A good, at least half of my clients I've never seen.
How long does it take to heal somebody?
Boy, everybody's different. Sometimes once. Sometimes it takes a series. It's very individual, in my experience.
You once being what, an instant?
Right, exactly.
And the individual feels fine right away, or does it take time for that?
You know, I've seen it both ways. Sometimes a person goes, whoa, like the experience you had with the man and the neck.
Yeah.
That was instantaneous. I've experienced that. And then sometimes there'll be a jolt of energy, and it will take 3, 4, 5 days, and then the person goes, oh my goodness, you know, whatever I had is gone, I'm fine. And then sometimes it's a series. Sometimes there's a process of healing. And so any of us then become a facilitator for that person in their unfolding of a healing process.
All right, let's go to some questions here, fast blast questions. The next hour we'll take phone call questions for you. Sherry from California said, did you know, I did not know this, maybe you do, that laying on hands to heal is against the law in this country? I didn't know that. Is it?
It's not, huh? No, it's not, actually. There's licensure for laying on of hands. It's you can become a reverend in many different systems, and you are legally able, at least in the state of Washington, to lay on hands.
All right. Be interesting to check. Maybe every state is separate and different.
Probably every state is separate.
Richard from Dallas, Texas. He said he's had a disorder for 5 years. His doctors are baffled. It's cost him $50,000 in tests. Nothing's happened.
My goodness.
Does the technique of healing require you to know what is wrong with the person before you can proceed to cure him? Do you have to know what's wrong?
Not always. I mean, sometimes it's really helpful to know, but there are times when a healer, any healer, can deepen and actually experience the person's body. They are not a diagnostician, but they get close enough to it that they can then direct the healing to whatever is needed. So you don't have to know.
And so just let the energy go after the damaged cells.
Exactly.
Do these cells repair themselves, or do they just die off?
Both ways. If the cell is not so badly damaged that it's on its way out already, cells do have the capacity to repair themselves. But sometimes if the damage is great enough, they'll die and then new cells must come in to replace them.
And I'm told, too, now that even cells in the brain regenerate.
Yes.
Which they never, even the heart, too. The heart starts to do it now. People, scientists years ago would have said that's, you know, come on now.
Right. And the brain cells are the first ones I think we've had really good data about in how energy affects them. I've done a fair amount of testing with electroencephalograms here in the United States and also in Japan. Was flown to Japan to be tested at Nihon University in Tokyo because they were doing a documentary. And they had me all hooked up with 128 sensors. And each of those had a wire that went to a recording computer. And so they tested me just hanging out, looking at a spot on the wall, which is classic. And then in meditation, and then working with someone, doing healing work with someone who was very ill. It was fascinating because my brain runs beta waves, which is the thinking mind, and delta, which is supposed to be in the brain primarily in deep sleep, but I run them simultaneously in a waking state. This is quite unusual. This is similar results as to what Richard Davidson, a researcher at the University of Wisconsin, has found with Tibetan monks who've meditated for 50,000 hours, bless their hearts. And so it is the clear mind, the aware mind, and that delta stuff has got to be the mind partially in the other realms, in the other realities, in that God space. When those two come together, the brain peaks. I mean, you can see these large peaks of energy all synchronized together. And the experience is that the energy is just bolting through you, like you experienced with your two friends.
What about magnets? Do they work on people? You know, you hear people have magnets.
I know. Some people are really into them. Magnets, I don't like them. They make me feel scrambled, and so they're not something that I've used. To me, they're too impersonal. The people I work with are generally really, really sensitive, and I would not impose a magnetic field on most people, frankly.
Because, somebody, Jason from Ohio, is writing in. He says that his wife a while ago had arthritis.
Uh-huh.
And he was massaging her and felt a strong magnetic attraction between his wrist and her back, much like what happened to me, I guess.
Uh-huh.
In that case, so that is basically what you're saying. The human element seems to be a little more important here.
It does.
Tim from Denton, Texas. He's probably got this one right on. He said, once the human population gets down to 500 million, which is the target we've always thought, Joyce, that the New World Order would love to get this planet down to from the 6+ billion people, he said, then we'll talk more about finding medical cures. But right now, nobody's interested in life extension. I think he's right.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I don't think you go that far, do you?
That's an amazing perception, yeah.
What you eat is equally important, I would guess?
Certainly, and many people look at food as good medicine, in a sense, so that you're putting into your body the structures, the molecules that your body needs for health, like vitamins and minerals and nutrients.
Well, I have one here from Judith in Montgomery, Alabama, who calls me the originator of the original sin, and she prays for me. I have no idea why she would say that, but that's how she feels.
Oh.
I don't think I'm the devil, do you?
No, I don't think so at all.
Lonnie, our pal in Las Vegas, talks about the question that we had from Jesus, that he not only understands what this all is, of course, but has cured people who had assumed room temperature. Well, that's true, too. Now, that is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
How about the ability to make the dead rise again? I don't think you've been able to do that yet, have you?
Oh, no. I have not.
Have you been able to do this on animals?
Yes. Yes. Animals frequently, and that's really exciting work because you can't talk to them. You just have to work with them, and they give you signals. I worked with a large dog that was part wolf or mostly wolf at one time, years and years ago. And I had to crawl in the back seat of a VW Bug to sit next to this dog that had very big teeth. And it was a one-owner kind of animal. And he just looked at me as I crawled in there. So I just talked to him and put my hand on his chest. He had a severe heart murmur, so bad that the blood was swishing between the chambers of the heart. The vet had told this dog's owner that it would have to be put down, that it just was too sick. And so put my hand on his chest and worked for, I don't know, 5 minutes maybe. And I could feel the energy moving to the dog. And then at some point, he just growled at me. And I went, oh, I think the session's done. And I hopped out of the car. So then she brought him back. And he got so he would wag his tail when he saw me. And he would let me put my hand on his chest for longer periods of time. But he always punctuated the end of the session with his And then, I don't know, we maybe worked for 4 sessions, maybe 5 at the most. And she took him back to the vet, and the vet said he could hear absolutely no murmur. And that dog lived a full, complete life. You know, so that's really satisfying when things like that happen.
Tell us what you did to get these powers the way you have now. I mean, the exercises you went through, as we talk about, we don't have to go through near-death experiences to do this, do we?
No, we don't. I seem to have needed to do that. But that connection, it's the connection with God. It's the connection that is important. And I meditate. I spend time in that place every day. It's as important to me as breathing or eating food. And so what's grown over the years is a devotion, kind of a continual expansion of the heart, of the compassion, plus really observing what happens, what seems to work, and the trying to put together this compassion wisdom piece and asking, just listening for guidance, and trying to be partially that bridge to allow the bridge through my body, which I seem to be called to bring the energy that's universal and healing to people.
If every morning or maybe every moment before you go to bed, you concentrate and you think of white energy, white light, power all around your body, will that help your cells? I mean, is it like a cleansing?
Yes, it is. And to allow it to move through your body so that it's dynamic and active. And in whatever spiritual context that is, that touches each of us most deeply. For some, it might be the prayer to Jesus, and some it might be to God in general. So some it might be more earth-based, and some it might be the universe. But there is a place, I think, in us each that has a yearning for some connection larger than ourselves that's pure, that's loving, and ultimately wise, and to be in that place. And however that energy expresses, it might be a melody, it might be an emotion, and it might be the experience of light. They all work well.
I've got a little piece of paper in my office, which I'll get during the break and read it when we come back. But it has to do with Edgar Cayce, the great American prophet, the late Edgar Cayce, of course. And he said, Joyce, that if you put a pocket of metal, and again, I'll get the little paper at the top, but put it in your pocket, you know, and just kind of walk around with it, that it will align your energy waves, which is incredible.
Yeah, it is.
Why would that?
Was it a specific kind of metal?
Yeah, I think it is. I got to go find out, but I'll get it in a few minutes. But he, of course, was able to tap into things. He says that this little piece of metal that was just a round little thing, you just keep it on your body, and it aligns you.
Interesting.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing. Well, and other people have used crystals. I mean, there's all sorts of ways, and some people use prayers. So lots of different people experience that connection and alignment in whatever context makes best sense to them.
Do you, like Wesley here from Iowa, has practiced on his multiple sclerosis wife, imagining blue light all around her, and said she actually felt better for a while. He should do more of this, I guess, don't you think? I mean, you don't just stop.
No. And if she feels better, boy, that's a wonderful way to continue. It traditionally, blue light is able to stabilize the nervous system. And so it's interesting that he used blue light because it's scientifically proven, but it is the particular frequency, particular wavelength, the particular quality of light that seems to help heal lesions in the nervous system and to stabilize the nervous system. So that's a really good one for him to have used.
Why do some people need healers? Why can't they just do it themselves?
Well, it'd be really great if everybody could do it themselves. And, you know, it would be. But it's like anything else. There are times when we need each other as facilitators in one way or another.
And I would guess the healer, in some cases, has an ability to draw this energy force, because that's really what it is when we come down to it,
right,
to draw this energy force to a certain region of the body, probably better than somebody. Like you said earlier, you know what? I might not be able to fix a faucet or, you know, change an electrical circuit, but I might be good at something else.
Exactly. And many times when someone works with a healer, then they can learn how to do it for themselves. So part of the process is both receiving the healing, but then learning what it feels like and what image they might get, or fine-tuning a specific meditation for them or a prayer for them, so that then they're empowered to go ahead and continue this on their own.
Where do you get the book, Cell Level Healing, by the way?
Amazon's got it. You've got a great link on your site. Goes right to the book on Amazon, and they're prepared to handle getting books to people. Their books are also in bookstores all over the country.
Okay. Well, when we come back also, I'll definitely get that little piece of information on Edgar Cayce's little piece of metal and what that was to heal. He just says it's just a small little round piece.
Thank you. I'm very interested.
Yeah, we'll find out how that works. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.